This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you. And one of the biggest stories of this weekend, the Four Nations Tournament, the NHL getting it right with an incredible tournament. And to talk about it, we bring in the Road Warrior from the New York Post. Molly Walker covers the Rangers in the NHL. And Molly, how you doing tonight?
Oh, well, as we just spoke about, I was in the car for quite some time today, making my way from Montreal to Boston after my flight was canceled. But we're here, we have arrived, and we are excited for the continuation of this tournament.
Yeah, for all the people who think that being a sports writer is all glamour, spending 8 hours in traffic driving from Montreal to Boston, not exactly. However, what is glamorous, what is exciting, this tournament, and you know, sometimes in the past over, I don't know, the last decades, as I've watched the NHL, there have been times I've been critical of Gary Bettman and the marketing of the game at times where I feel like they don't always maximize what is such a terrific sport. And yet, here we are, and talk about something that they have gotten right. And, you know, you're somebody, obviously, who covers the game day in, day out. Big picture so far, and we're only midway through this tournament, and we had an incredible game on Saturday night between Canada and the U.S., these games up in Montreal. But from your perspective as somebody who loves and appreciates and covers the game day in, day out, where is this tournament so far stacking up in terms of living up to expectations?
I think that it has blown it out of the water, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I feel like a lot of people were talking about how they were worried that the players weren't going to care about this. It would be like the All-Star game, but it just could not be any more different. And why wouldn't it be? I mean, I don't understand why people thought that way. One conversation with any of these guys and you would know how important it is to them to play for their country. And international play is such a huge part of hockey. And for NHL players to have been away from it for as long as they have is honestly criminal. And I think that it has all just kind of exploded into this tournament. And I mean, however many games in, four games in now, every single one of them has been just a unique display of competition and just riveting storylines. And every game it feels like a thriller almost. And it really just has blown away expectations, I think. And I think the NHL is really having a moment here. I think it is, as you alluded to, it is the talk of the town right now. Everybody is talking about the Four Nations Tournament. I mean, who watched the NBA All-Star game this weekend?
Right.
It's been really good.
I tuned into NBA All-Star Saturday night when I was between periods of the hockey game. that's what they've been relegated, and that's where things stand. I'll be curious to see also ratings. I know for four nations, USA versus Canada, with, and let's face it, typically in the pecking order and historically NBA higher ratings than NHL. I get that, but they did, you know, Saturday night was a 4.4 million viewer rating average with 5.2 million. That's just in U.S. Obviously, that's not then, you know, ratings in Canada, ratings internationally and all this sort of stuff. So most viewed non-Stanley Cup final hockey telecast since 2019. Obviously, the interest was really high. So let's dive into USA and Canada. And for those who maybe missed it and haven't had a chance to go back and watch, is in terms of this game and saying to you, this is going to be different, if you didn't already know it before Saturday night, describe for folks what happened to start the game with the, and this is obviously unusual to hockey. I mean, if people did this in the NFL, they'd be kicked out of the game. In other sports, in baseball, you're gone. In the NBA, you're gone and suspended and all this stuff. And yet it is part of the character and the sort of gentleman's code of conduct in the NBA that there's nothing cheap shot here. These were drop the gloves before the game started. But how does all of that come about, and the combinations of players that we saw with the fights that we saw before the game was even, you know, 10 seconds old?
Yeah, I mean, it was, what a scene. What a scene that was sent. And I mean, JT Miller, after the game, I had asked him, you know, how important it was for them to get to their physicality right off the bat like that. And he said it was about setting the tone. And that is what the Americans went into that game wanting to do. And as we found out after the game, in what was just a theatrical press conference performance from the Tkachuk brothers, as has been the case this entire tournament, honestly. There was actually a group chat between the Tkachuk brothers and Miller, the three players that got into a fight before the game was 10 seconds old. And it was premeditated. You know, this was something that they talked about. This was something that they went in and they wanted to do. It was completely decided beforehand, even though Brady, in an interview with Emily Kaplan, I'm pretty sure, said at first that it was organic, and then and then he had his brother looking at him at the press conference being like, "Nope, tell them the truth. Brady, tell them the truth. You just tell them the truth." And Brady was like, "All right, you know, there was a group chat that we were talking about beforehand." But I mean, that, I mean, you talk about the fighting, and obviously there's, it's such a controversial part of hockey, but it is also what makes hockey special. And at the end of the day, that is what this tournament is trying to do: grow the game, allow the players to play for their countries. And that is part of growing the game. It's what makes it unique, what makes it so exciting. And it really did set the tone for that game. And it just continued on into being an all-time classic, as has every single game this tournament so far, really.
Yeah. And you mentioned the Tkachuk brothers. So again, for some of our listeners who maybe don't watch the NHL day in, day out, but they're tuning in here, they're interested and starting to get hooked. And if they haven't, now hopefully they're hearing us talk and they're thinking, oh, maybe I should, you know, tune into the finals. This thing, there's something going on here. And the game and the action, that's games that are to be played in Boston. But for the Tkachuk brothers, so they are obviously part of a family, and, you know, so give the history there of the family, the heritage, and, you know, in a lot of ways, these guys, to me, their size, their physicality, who they are, how they come across, it feels to me like this is the type of family that historically we knew, learned of, you know, heard about, but they were Canadian. And these guys are American, but this feels like a Canadian, you know, what would have been in the past a Canadian hockey family.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, everybody knows Keith Tkachuk, their dad's former player. And I think I saw a quote today, might have been in The Athletic, I'm not sure, but he's talking about how, you know, he's calling his kids just as much of lunatics as he was. They are just the same type of the same breed of player. I'm pretty sure there was a stat that, you know, obviously the two brothers get into a fight less than 9 seconds into the game, and I'm pretty sure Keith Kachuk got into one back in like 1996, 20 seconds into the game. You know, like father, like son, mm-hmm. truly. So they are definitely the epitome of a hockey family. And they really have just been so entertaining. I mean, we talk about wanting NHL players to show their personalities off more, and they are it, man. They really are. They are just making this so much fun. And the fact that Mike Sullivan puts those two on a line around Jack Eichel in that first game to help Team USA get to their game. And now, obviously, you can't break that up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they combined for 4 goals and 5 points in that first game. And it was just electric. And I mean, you can't even imagine what it must be like for them to be playing on the same line together and the whole thing. I mean, it's just entertainment. It's just great theater. It's great stories. They're at the heart of it right now, and they are just the heart and soul of Team USA right now. I mean, every single guy I've talked to has said some variation of the same quote of, they drag you into the fight. That is the type of players who they are. Like, they will just drag you in with them, and that's what they've done with Team USA.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So for people like me who've been watching and enjoying this tournament, one of the concerns was that with about 12 and a half minutes left, you know, in that game, Matthew Tkachuk, so important to this team, it looked like there was something going on where he didn't mm-hmm. look right. And I don't know, was that a back injury? Was it something that happened in that, you know, maybe did he tweak something in that initial fight? But what's, you know, I know when Brady was interviewed afterwards, he said, don't worry about it, Matthew will be playing in the finals. But any update there on Matthew Tkachuk and his availability for what will be the important, you know, forget about Monday's game, which is less important now. The U.S. is going to be in the finals, but in the final game.
Yeah, well, Sullivan today, obviously keeping his cards close to his chest, said Matthew is still getting evaluated and there isn't any real update. But I think the situation, from a big picture standpoint, it's pretty straightforward and pretty easy to infer that Matthew Tkachuk probably will not be playing tomorrow night in Boston. But he should be available for the final. I can't imagine that he will not get up for that game. I mean, what did he play in the playoffs with, a broken sternum? You know, wasn't that him?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine anything less than that is going to keep him out of this final. But obviously, the no-brainer decision would be to sit him tomorrow tomorrow night. Let him take a rest. And you got Chris Kreider waiting in the wings, coming home to play in front of a hometown crowd. That should be a pretty easy decision for the USA coaching staff. But obviously, we'll see what ends up happening. But even when we asked Matthew how he was feeling after the game, if there was any concern there, he said no, not at all. So
we're talking to Molly Walker from the New York Post, covers the NHL, and you mentioned, so obviously the series now, the tournament, shifting to Boston from Montreal. Describe the atmosphere in Montreal. We understand, look, USA was going to be the villain, the rival of Canada anyway, with the political environment. It's only hyped up. But have you seen, in your time covering the NHL, have you seen an environment like that? How does that compare?
Honestly, it even beat out playoff games to me. Just an absolute electric atmosphere. I mean, Bell Center is just a cathedral for hockey, and it's like that in a regular season game when the Canadians are in last place.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what time of year, the state of the team, Bell Center always has that effect to it, but you fill it to the brim with 90% Canada fans watching Sidney Crosby wear the Maple Leaf for the first time in however many years, you know, like it just creates such a different atmosphere. They trot out Mario Lemieux. They trot out Carey Price.
Sarah Savard.
I mean, talk about hockey gods welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just an unbelievable atmosphere to be a part of. I mean, and the fact that the USA-Canada game went the way that it did just made it even more exciting. And every game, it just feels like everybody's sitting on the edge of their seats. And even for the Sweden-Finland games, which obviously are going to have a smaller amount of fans in the crowd, you see the pockets of bright yellow that shoot up out of their seats when Sweden scores. And it's just, it's been such an amazing atmosphere, and it's really, really been special to be a part of. I'm really excited for TD Garden, but it's going to be hard to beat out Bell Center, truly.
Yeah, I think, to your point, for people who are maybe not as dialed into hockey on a game-in, game-out basis, the best comp I can think of is to say that Bell Center is to hockey what Madison Square Garden is to basketball. The Knicks can be lousy, the Knicks can be, can stink, and yet, if it's a close game, that place is going to rock. And if you ever had an Olympic game where you were playing a USA versus some other team in the finals at Madison Square Garden, I think the roof would combust. You know, the place would explode. So there's for people who maybe aren't thinking about it, is Bell Center is with even, maybe more reverence, I think, for Canadians, but that would be as close as you could have as a comp. You also mentioned with Matthew Tkachuk likely sitting out on Monday, tomorrow, that Chris Kreider gets a chance to get some playing time. Just in general, for fans, for the locals and for the Rangers in particular, how is this tournament? You mentioned JT Miller, and we know Zibanejad and others. How is this tournament important potentially for a Rangers team that has underperformed all season long, has not lived up to expectations, and wants to make a push to get a wild card spot?
Yeah, the first person I think about is Mika Zibanejad, because the look on his face on that first media day when we all first got there was so nice to see, because of obviously how difficult this season has been for him, how difficult most of the season has been for the Rangers team as a whole. Obviously, Mika has had serious on-ice struggles, some serious stuff during the 4-15 stretch. It was just honestly, just a really tough stretch for him on both sides of the puck. And it was, you know, becoming, he'd come out for his post-game press conferences, and it's almost like, you know, what does he say at this point? So to see the smile on his face and the pure elation exuding off of him as he talks about how awesome it is to be having hockey meetings in Swedish and to be game planning in Swedish and be around all of his fellow countrymen. I think about how much joy it's bringing back into hockey for him. And you can only hope that that carries over back into the regular season, for the NHL regular season. So he's the number one person who I think about, but I just think for everybody as a whole, I mean, Rangers and other players alike, just getting a little bit of a break from the regular season and getting to focus on something else, something that also means a lot to them, I think could be good. And just, you know, a bit of a mental break before they return to regular season play, which is going to be an absolute grind and bloodbath for the Rangers if they hope to get into the playoffs.
All right, last one before I let you go. Obviously, Thursday will be the finals of this Four Nations tournament. We know the United States is there. We do not know yet who they will play. Do you expect that to be Canada, or could you see it being one of the other teams? And, you know, could you see a Finland, you know, finding their way in there or whatever? But if it is Canada and U.S., this game, you know, that first game was really 2-1 before an empty net, or obviously a really close game. And in the balance there, is Team USA the favorite, or how would you see a rematch going?
Well, I think in terms of who's going to actually make the final, I think that's the best part of how this tournament has gone, is it is still anybody's game. Any of the three remaining nations, there are scenarios and paths for them to get to the final. So that's what's been even more exciting about the way the tournament has gone. So, I mean, in this type of stage, in the games that we've seen, anything is possible. Truly, anything is possible. And I know Canada is going to be playing for their lives tomorrow. So, I mean, they want that second crack at the Americans. You know, you could feel it. Mm-hmm. So, we know we're going to see the best of Canada tomorrow. But, you know, with that, you know, it comes maybe some nerves and not being your best. So it'll be really interesting to see how it goes. But if it is ultimately Canada, I think Canada obviously has been the favorites for the entire tournament. I think it would be rude to say that they weren't. But if any team is going to defeat them in the championship, it's the United States, I think. So it'll be really, really fun. I think it especially if it goes out USA-Canada, obviously the NHL quite literally couldn't have asked for more. So,
yeah. And as you said, nerves, you know, maybe the biggest point of nerves and what you worry about always is goalie. And if there is something with the Canadians where there may be some nerves in goal, that certainly would be in a finals advantage American there. We shall see. But Four Nations tournament, all that and more, and really looking forward to that. Enjoy the time in Boston. We'll catch up with you soon. Molly Walker from The Post. You should be following her in the paper, online, on X. Appreciate the time, Molly. We'll catch up with you soon.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, Lori.